ahead while you're being seated, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John in chapter number 10. Those of you who are maybe just tuning in on live stream, and maybe you haven't been with us, or maybe a visitor among us this morning, that we are preaching through, I am preaching through, and we as a congregation are going through the Gospel of John, and by way of preaching. And so today we are in John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. You may have noticed on our message board out in front of the church there by the cross where the title of the message this morning is The Ultimate Storm Door. The Ultimate Storm Door. How many of you saw that on the... Okay, good. Folks are looking at the message board. How many of you have wondered what in the world I was going to preach about? All right, some of you were. All right. Well, that's kind of the reason for the way I word things sometimes, is to make you kind of think through it. And hopefully, maybe some folks will come eventually and say, you know what, I can't figure out how that preacher thinks. And if you can figure out how I think, you're doing a good job. I haven't even figured that out. So, but nonetheless, the storm door. You know, I've had several storm doors or been encountered several storm doors through the years. Sometimes they were really just like they're intended to be. Other times, oh, I've seen them where it was like, oh, just kind of wave. I mean, just they shut and it takes about 30 seconds for the rest of the door to hit. Just kind of wavy, so to speak. And then some other, so I decided to do, the Lord laid this title on my heart last week sometime. And as I was looking at John chapter 10, and just the last day or two, I decided I'm going to do a search on storm doors in the informative, authoritative resource called Google. And so I just Googled, all right, what are the best storm doors? And so Bob Vila had, I think, his list of seven. The Anderson door was number one. He had a number two. Another Anderson door was number three. And it goes into all the specs. It talks about how heavy they are and how wind resistant they are, how secure they are. Just a lot of different things. And I thought, you know what? Those are all very good, but I'm looking for the ultimate storm door. Ultimate. And I thought, you know, because I had already typed in the best storm door, and I thought, I don't know if anybody would claim to have the ultimate. Aha! I have in my hands here a description of the ultimate. It's called Titan. That kind of helps you realize their opinion of it. 36 by 80 inches, recessed mount, white, right hand, ultimate security storm door with mesh-tee screen. Let's see here. It talks about the security storm door with mesh-tee screen. Delivers unsurpassed security without trade-offs in airflow or curb appeal. Now, if you saw a picture of it, you might doubt the sincerity of what they're saying here. The high tensile woven stainless steel mesh screen. That kind of gives you an idea there. Provides all the light ventilation of a screen door plus the strength and durability of a security door. It says the mesh-tee screen stands up to scratching and clawing for the ultimate in pet-friendly protection. High-tensity stainless steel mesh provides the ultimate in security. And goes on, the vault-style three-point locking system fortifies your entryway against intruders. The security, it just goes on and on and on about the ultimate security door. You say, what does that have to do with John chapter 10? Well, I'm glad you asked. So let's look at it. With our Bibles open to John chapter 10, and I'd like us just to read maybe just the first two or three verses to start with, and then we're going to look at this chapter as God's laid it upon my heart in three different sections, all right? Three different sections that I believe provides for the child of God or for those wanting to be a child of God the understanding that when we're talking about the ultimate security door, it is not the Titan. It is not any of these others. We're talking about the ultimate security door. We're not talking about anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10. Notice, if you will, the Bible says it like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth, here we go, he that entereth not by what? The door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by his name, and he leadeth them out. And he goes on, and he talks about just a number of different verses. But notice verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He goes on later, verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We're going to see from the Word of God this morning, when we talk about the ultimate storm door, we're going to look at three things that I believe would have us to understand that none other than the Lord Jesus is the ultimate storm door for this reason. Number one, he is the door. Number two, he is the shepherd. This passage throughout the entire text is going to deal with the door and the shepherd. And those are possible because sandwiched between the door and his being the shepherd, some of it, is the very fact and the indication and the authenticity of him being no one other than the Christ. As a matter of fact, the Jews said to him almost maybe a little over halfway through, he said, tell us plainly, the Jews wanted to know, are you the Christ? And so he tells them very plainly. So with that in mind, the first of these, when we understand that he is the door, the shepherd, the Christ, and the ultimate storm door, we're going to look him as the door and shepherd and the Christ. Number one, he does these things. Number one, he provides the exclusive entrance. He provides the exclusive entrance. You'll know in John chapter 14, verse 6, you'll remember what Jesus said. He said, I am the what? The way, the and the. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've already seen that in verse number 7. He said, I am the door of the sheep. Verse number 9, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Verse number 28, we'll look at it a little bit later, but he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man. Literally, you see the word man in that passage? It's in italics, which means it was not in the original. They put it there just for our understanding. So let's leave it out. He says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any, let's leave out the word man, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and nothing, no, and man is in there, you take it out, no, literally nothing can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So here we come to this matter, that because Jesus is the door, he is the shepherd, he is the Christ. Christ means the anointed one of God. The one of the Godhead who would come and die for our sins on the cross. But because he is the door, he is the shepherd, he is the Christ, when he says in verse number 7, I am the door of the sheep. And we're going to look in just a moment as to why there needs to be a door. But using the analogy of a shepherd and the porter who would stand in the gateway, and the sheep would come in and he would stand so that a thief couldn't come in, but he would be the porter to say, okay, you can go in and call out your sheep. In the first century and even today in some parts of the world, the shepherds of different flocks would come, and when they would come to market or for whatever reason they're going through town, they just had one sheepfold. And so this shepherd would go past the porter, bring his sheep into the sheepfold. The porter then would get back in front of the door after the shepherd had left. Another shepherd with another flock would come in, and he would do the same in another one. But when it came time for that shepherd to take his sheep, maybe to the market or wherever, he would come in and he would just call his sheep,
and his sheep would hear his voice and remember it, and they would follow him out. The other sheep, normally, as I understand it, they would, if they heard somebody else's voice, they would scatter. They don't want to be a part of him. But his sheep would isolate themselves, follow that shepherd out. Notice what it says, I am the door of the sheep. Verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So the first thing that we want to see in John chapter 10 about our Savior is that he is the door of salvation. He provides the exclusive entrance. Now, it's open to any. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's an exclusivity. There's just only one way that you and I can be a child of God. And to anyone here or those listening by way of live stream, if you've not come to the Lord Jesus to wash away your sins and be your Savior, dear friend, there's no way you're going to see God. I had the joy just yesterday of meeting an individual, a young man. And he and I began to chat for just a moment. I was going to visit someone else, and that individual wasn't there. And this person happened to be in the yard. And I said, hey, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Just standing right there. And he looked at me, a big smile came over his bearded face. And he says, I sure do. And I said, well, how's that? He said, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what he is saying here. He says, if any man, the invitation is to any and to all. He says, if any, I am the door, by me, if any enter in, he shall be saved. The word saved has the idea that there's peril. A rescue needs to take place. Oh, the old songwriter said, the whole world is lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. It's not religion. It's not a good family heritage. It's not doing the good works. There's only one door and only one. I remember that little song that we used to sing, or our kids used to sing, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the what?
Inside.
What's the question? On which side are you? And the truth of the matter is, friend, I may be speaking to someone here today, right here in the auditorium, and you look, I mean, you act like you know the Lord is your Savior. You act like you're a Christian. You just hope you're going to make it to heaven. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord Jesus has already provided that way, but he is the door standing between you and an eternity with God, because if you're on the wrong side of that door of salvation, you're facing eternity as a lost man or a lost woman, a lost young person. But when you come to the door, the exclusivity of it, there's not one among many. There's only one door, and his name is Jesus. Oh, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We'll speak of that more in just a moment. So we've already looked at, he provides the exclusive entrance. But now we want to go to the second principle that we see in this wonderful chapter. He protects from the enemy's engagements. Now, that's just like a storm door on the front. He provides an exclusive entrance. So in other words, when you have that storm door there and you're facing the house and you're about to go into the house, you don't want to crawl through the window. You want to go right through that storm door, an exclusive entrance into the house. But secondly, something else that we noticed about the Titan and the Anderson door and many other doors, you'll notice that it protects from the enemy's engagements. Now notice the enemies, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the security, the stability, the sanity. Notice different verses here. Verse number 8 and verse number 1, he talks about a thief and a robber. Verse number 5, he talks about a stranger. Some of the other elements that are out there. Number 10, verse number 10, steal and kill and destroy. Verse number 12 talks about the hireling. In other words, a shepherd, they don't belong to him. He's just paid by the hour or the day or whatever. It says the hireling leaveth his sheep. A wolf is climbing. A wolf catches. A wolf scatters the sheep. Oh my. You come down to verse 13. The hireling careth not for the sheep. You come to verse number 28. It talks about perishing. and talking about something plucking out of God's hand. When you and I think about the things in life that will adversely affect, will affect us in the wrong way, spiritually and mentally and emotionally and so many different ways. And sometimes they just come at us straight ahead. Sometimes they broadside us from the side. But you and I have to understand, wait a minute. He's not only the door, but he's also the shepherd. And he is one who is the Christ, the anointed one of God. And it is he that is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So that when we, as the ones who've already gone through the door of salvation, now he is not only the door of salvation, but because we've accepted Christ, now he is also our shepherd. And he will lead, he will guide us through all of the challenges of life, whether it's physically or spiritually or whatever it is. Notice, if you will, with me, please, verse 3. To him, talking about the shepherd, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. That's verse number 3. We go to verse number 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We go on down to verse number 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Right in the midst of difficult settings, even perhaps as some who are not here today, we have a good number away from us, but some of them are in difficult settings. Maybe not physically, it may be in other ways of life, maybe financially, maybe whatever it is, but as we go in and out, the Bible says our shepherd will guide us. So in other words, in every circumstance of life, whether you're married or single, whether you're well of body or not, whether you're aged or young, in every setting of life, there is a righteous way for us to respond. Why? Because God's given us the Word of God. God's given us the Holy Spirit in our heart. But we also know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't mean we don't ever get, you know, I wanted a Ferrari. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means anything in this life that God knows that we truly need, he's going to provide it, according to Psalm 23, Matthew 6, 33, and many other companion passages. But there's always those institutions, those events, those whatever they are, he talks in here about stealing and thieves and robbers and wolves and those kinds of things that would, and we know from Romans 7, 21, as a child of God, when I would do good, what is present with me? We know that. Evil, that's exactly right. So do we cower in a corner saying, wait a minute, I believe God wants me to give to missions, but, I started giving and the whole thing fell out and I better not do that anymore. Or I started to witness to someone and I just fumbled around and God can't use me, so I'm not going to tell anyone else. I don't want to mess it up. No, we don't. Let me read the words that have been around for quite a while now. But they're words that are very important. It's been set to music. You'll be familiar with it as soon as I start. But it's in four stanzas, and I do want to invest the whole time on these four stanzas because it goes to the heart of the matter that we have a storm door. And it doesn't matter if the wolves, physically or allegorically, if the wolves are after us and they're doing their best to get just a tooth mark, and maybe the coyotes are there like they did our Labrador and we had in Shelby. That got attacked by the coyotes. And they just, they're just brutal and ruthless. But we have a storm door. And they have to go through the Lord before they can get to us. The words go like this. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, or a fortress never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, talking about the devil, doth seek to work us woe, to do us in. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man, talking about the Lord Jesus, the door, the shepherd, the Christ. We're not that right man on our side, our the man of God's own choosing. You ask, who that may be? Christ Jesus is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Not only the battle of eternal salvation, but the battles you face right where you are, right where I am. It goes on. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, our mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. He is our storm door, friend. And when the throes of life are all around you and the hurricane gusts are coming at you and the devil in surround sound is saying, it's not going to succeed. When the devil is telling you, you're not good enough. When the devil tells you, you'll never be used of God. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Dear friend, you and I need to understand in this glorious 10th chapter of John, where he says, I am the door. I am the shepherd. That it's not only exclusive to those who are in the family of God, as it is, but he is the door to the whole wide world. And he says, if you'll just come to me, ask and it shall be given you. See, he just says, come to me. And they'll enter that door. And he says, and they shall be saved. So we've seen already that it's an exclusive entrance to that door. We've already seen as well that he protects from the enemy's engagements. But finally this morning, and thirdly, he preserves his own. He preserves his own into or unto eternal existence. He preserves his own. Oh, what a glorious promise this is. It's because he is the door, because he is the shepherd, and because he is the Christ. Notice what he says in verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 15. He goes on to say in verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again. And then he states, this commandment have I received of my Father. So in that brief text, sandwiched between I am the door and I am the shepherd, sandwiched in there is the confirmation, the documentation, when they said, the Jews did. If you're the Christ, just tell us plainly. And so he did. And because of that, you and I come to the next passage of Scripture. I've already quoted it. May I do it again, please? Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. By the way, if you're here this morning or listening, and you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, no matter what circumstances of life that you're in, if you've gone through that door of salvation, and you've come to Him in full understanding, and you cast your will and your heart on His mercy and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I know I deserve to die and go to hell. I know I am lost and without Christ. But Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. From that moment on, you're His sheep. You're among the sheep. You're among those that He says, I'm your shepherd. Now notice, if you will, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Notice what he says. I give unto them eternal life. Now that's the declarative statement. You remember this little section that I've written in there, number 3, is he preserves his own. He preserves his own into eternal life, or unto eternal life. So he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You've heard me state this. I stated on the radio as I recorded some broadcasts this week. But never is going in this direction. Eternal life is going in this direction. We would call that mutually exclusive. They have nothing to do with each other. If you have eternal life, then you're never going to perish. If you're perishing, you're never going to have eternal life. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And the reason I invested the time a little while ago to say about the word man, for me it's important, perhaps for you as well. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, we take that out, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. I like the little children's song, don't you? Safe am I in the what? Hollow of his hand, sheltered door, sheltered door. When you and I stop and think about it, would there be influences that would love to steal away our salvation? Oh, absolutely. The devil and his emissaries, the demons and anything else. I mean, if they can do whatever and just in the dead of night come in while you're asleep and you're there and you're snoozing away. There we go. Fast asleep. If it could do that and it could come in and just very gently rob away your salvation, it would do it. Or if in the throes of an anguish you're not thinking about it, you're walking and you're serving God, and then all of a sudden, boy, you're just laid out, and it just reaches in and it grabs it by force, usurps your ability. It would do it. But he said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anything, any demon, any body, yourself, myself, whatever it is, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, Jesus said, the Christ, the Son of God said, my Father gave them to me. And nothing, you leave man out, nothing can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If I could pause just for a moment, there's many a child of God who gets bruised regularly. Oh, that's a terrible thing. You've been bruised before, I have. And sometimes those bruises are severe and take quite some time to recover. There are some who walk around and they want to be saved. They want to believe that they're saved. And yet on a regular basis, oh, you can't be saved. Why? You remember what you did when God can't save you. Or now that you've been saved, you remember you told a lie. You remember how you did this. You've disappointed God this time and this time and this time and this time. Or maybe I didn't when I prayed. Maybe I didn't use the right words. Maybe I didn't whatever. And if I could respectfully wrap my heart around yours and just whisper into your heart, dear friend, you're looking at the wrong place for your salvation security. When you walk through the door of salvation, when you said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, save me. Save me. You may not have used the exact same words that I did, but you knew in your heart you were a sinner, and the only remedy for that sin was to call out on a holy God to save you. And when you did, then he promised, and he says here, and they shall never perish, neither shall anything, no demon, no any man, no anything, no angel, no power, no principality, nothing can pluck you out of my hand. And I would say gently to your hearts, that you're looking at the wrong place for your security. The storm door we talked about, the Titan. There's a problem with some of these things. I began to look at their warranties. I didn't look at all of them, I just looked at several. And really, Anderson had a pretty good warranty. It was a limited lifetime warranty. Now that always brings a consternation to my thoughts, all right? If it's lifetime, how can it be limited? Well, if it's limited, how can it be lifetime? They seem like a contradiction of terms, and yet they've got it engineered within the meaning of it to where, well, this is limited because we're not going to do that or whatever. And it was a limited lifetime warranty, but it's handicapped because what about after my lifetime? What about after the lifetime of what that gizmo or whatever it is? What's the warranty going to do then? And even the Titan, the ultimate storm door, it had a 10-year warranty. Unless you had registered it online, then it had a 15-year warranty. And when you had the 15-year warranty or the 10-year warranty, if something happened and someone broke in, and then they're going to do the investigation, it has double deadlocks. And so it had to be in there. It had to be show that that was, and then the covers that were over the screws, that was a thing to lock it from being able to be jimmied out. And if they, and well, if you can do that, the maximum we're going to pay is $1,000. Okay. They're all handicapped, to the best of them. But when you came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me," He says, "I give unto them eternal life." Wouldn't it be a lot better, instead of looking at your own ability to keep your salvation, to trust Him and then, as the Bible says in Philippians, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? You're not working for salvation, you're working because of salvation. And because Christ is the door, because He is the shepherd, because He is the Christ, you can depend upon Him. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and make us free. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Gracious Lord, our only Savior, with thyself our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, lovest still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, lovest still. John chapter 10 is an extremely familiar text for most everyone in here, perhaps even for our live stream folks. And yet, as we just take this familiar text, may we consider it this morning as though it's the first time, to say, He is my door, the door of my salvation. It was in Him that I trust. Jesus said, "By me, if any, they can enter in and be saved." So I would just say to my heart and to yours, those of us in the family of God can revel in the fact that it is all of Christ and none of us. But as we look to Him and we see the storms of life that would attract our attention away from the Savior and onto our own crises or our own inabilities or whatever they are, and just to remember, He's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. And in that capacity, He'll lead us through every cataclysmic event in life, every great opportunity in life, every unstated argument that others would throw to us if they could, and we begin to try to understand what is it they're trying to do or say or accomplish to draw me away from the Lord. But we come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm going to trust You with my salvation, but I'm going to glory in Your love for me." And as Martin Luther penned those words, "A mighty fortress is our God," I hope you and I will leave here today understanding that it was an exclusive entrance. It's only by Christ, only by Christ. But He also is the one who preserves us with all of the enemy's engagements. But lastly, He is the one who preserves us right on into eternity. Our warranty is God-enabled and therefore world-proof and every other way will guide us into all truth. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Father, I thank You for this Your word. Lord, I doubt that what I've preached this morning is new to anyone here, and yet You had us to put it in, You had it put in the Word of God for us, so that re-examining it, we would sometimes understand in the difficulties of life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, that we can come running to You as our shepherd. But Lord, for any who might be here or listening by way of live stream, Father, maybe some who've never trusted You as Savior, I pray that today will be that day that they come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell, but I'm asking you to save me. I pray this will be the day of salvation. Father, we commit ourselves to thee today to follow the voice of our shepherd, the one who will lead us in our homes, in our vocations, in our daily lives, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray.